due to the rating.
Okay. I was just asking. She forgot for a second how old I was, and I blurted out 36.
Ready?
She's like stuck there.
All right, it's 6:30 Wednesday, May 13th. We'll call the Judiciary and Law Enforcement meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Dan Esposito.
Here.
Anita Johnson.
Here.
Boyd Frederick.
Here.
David Arrington. David Arrington. Ronald Johnson.
Here.
Leah Blau.
Here.
John Poole. John Poole. Anna Adamek.
Here.
Luke O'Neill.
Here.
Spencer Wilker.
Here.
Let the record show Supervisor Poole had gotten a hold of me. He's excused. Thank you. 6:31, citizen comments. Citizens comments. Seeing none, citizens comments are closed.
I don't have a lot of patience.
Supervisor comments. Any supervisors have any comments at this time? Oh. 32, chairman comments. I have a few. I'd like to thank Luke, Spencer, and Anna for being on our committee. This is your last meeting. We appreciate you being here, and I hope that the experience was enlightening. As other words I might use, but we appreciate everything that you're to be on our committee, and wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you.
That being said, it's 6:32. I need approval of the April 15th minutes, please.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Frederick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ask. Three, we have a Kenosha County Sheriff's Department first quarter 2015 federal inmate detainee housing report. Well, Captain Elsie, well, I didn't have to be here today, but.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I just sent an email to the chairman this morning. The year-to-date population average is 183.9 inmates. We had budgeted 199. Average daily population, so we're about 16 down. It's something that we continue to monitor. This committee knows, the whole county board knows, and it's something we have no control over. I was speaking to the chairman beforehand that our marshal population is rather high, due in part to this thing that the sheriff was part of recently. We don't know why. Other than that big case, the ICE population remains well below what we can handle, but that's well beyond our control. We'll continue to monitor it. We have Donna actually is the one who runs the spreadsheet daily. If anybody ever wants a daily population, we can do it year to date, any given day, anytime.
We are currently sending out once a month, so.
Yeah, we're getting them once a month. Any supervisor have any questions?
One quick one is, since the population has been down, costs were somewhat limited at the same time, or were we about the same?
When we're 16 inmates down, we have 16 less meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have 16 less people to launder and to, you know, put beds for. But 16 inmates does not allow us to close zones or change our manpower, because our dorm situation is usually 60, 64 inmates in a dorm. To have an impact on manpower, we'd have to have 64 less.
Okay.
That would be the bare minimum to have us see a real manpower reduction.
Chief Deputy?
Just to add what Captain Hallison says, Fitty needs to know that our overall detention population is down. Our local inmates, which a lot of times would number around 600, is down around the 500 mark. Sometimes it's been as low into the 400s. And part of that reason, not all of it, but part of it is jail diversionary programs that are going on. There are diversionary programs for the drug court. There's the WCS program, which keeps about 185 prisoners out of the county jail, which deals with repeat offender drunk drivers. There's the electronic monitoring program, that way have people on them. And there's at-home people that are on the community work crew. So there's a lot of people that are out of the facility that, if we didn't have these diversionary programs, would be in. So those programs, and the courts have really tried hard to keep people out of jail that don't need to be there. has allowed us, as Captain Halsey said, to close a dorm in some areas. We have had our dorm down here, our T-dorm closed down for quite a while, which lets us not be able to post it, put guards on it. However, that being said, is we have a revolving door right now with correctional staff, which is down. We can't seem to keep up with the hiring process. We have too many people that have a taste of it, and they're just going. We've reached a lot of them now that are retirement age, and they're leaving. So we're running through a cycle where we're down a little bit, but we are currently in the process of hiring more. And it's a continual thing. So we don't, like Bob says, we can't save a lot of money, but our overall population is down. But recently, our feds have been up. So we'll see what happens. Maybe by the end of the year, we'll average one. We just don't know.
Yeah, to echo the chief's statement, the May daily population is 198 as of today. So in 13 days, we've met our budgeted number, but it's only 13 days of May.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we're going to have to do something for a while to catch up. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Just for playing catch up.
Correct.
I mean, and while we're kind of discussing that, and Chief Depp just mentioned something, I had spoke with Supervisor Frederick today, and Ray Arbit, Director of Highways, had talked to Supervisor Frederick and had some concern about the work crew. They're down 400 hours, is that right, Supervisor Frederick?
Mm-hmm.
A week for the golf and
right.
And parks. And here lies my question, and I'm going to pose this, and we're going to get some information on it for the next meeting. Is this because of electronic monitoring? You know what I mean? I want to get a few different views. I had talked with Captain Halsey before the meeting about this, and Captain, who did you say runs that?
Deputy Jeff Marsh.
Yeah, I mean, I think I want to bring him in, Donna, next week, next month for the meeting. So we get an idea, because here's my concern on that. Mm-hmm. Electronic monitoring, great thing, but now what are we, you know, cutting off our nose to spite our face on this thing? I don't know. I mean, but it's, you know, I talked with the sheriff today about it, and, you know, he basically said, hey, there's nothing I can do about it when the numbers are as down as low as they are. And I can appreciate that. But
I think it depends on your philosophy. That's all. The community work crew program was established as a diversionary program to get inmates out, work their time off so they don't have to spend so much time in jail. And it was great as long as we had a lot of prisoners that qualified. The courts have tried really hard not to put those people in jail that don't need to be there. Those that are more of misdemeanor offenses, those that could pull, they don't want the jail filled with people that could be out and doing something else. We have, the jail itself depends on those type of inmates. We have to have 10 inmates just to do the laundry services. We have to have, I don't know if that's 10 or 14 in the kitchen, the numbers might be reversed. We have to have inmate workers in the jail. So the top priority for those inmate workers is the jail itself. If we didn't have those inmates working where we were, we'd be in dire straits too. The second priority is county government. Whatever we have, we will give to county government to do that. We don't even give them to the charitable organizations that need them too. That's the next priority. And then the fourth priority is other municipal governments that may need them, Pleasant Prairie, Summers, whatever. We get requests all over. Our big issue, the electronic monitoring, does it make some kind of impact? Yes, it does. Is that the biggest reason? No. The biggest reason is because we don't have those type of prisoners in our jail anymore, where we used to have a load of them. So I like to keep prisoners out of the jail. You know, I would hate to keep people in jail just so we can let them work on projects. You know, and I don't know if that's right or wrong. I know the county got dependent on that, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's free labor, there's no doubt about it. But do we keep people in jail that could normally be out just so we can get free labor out of them? I don't know if that's right. So I would hate to say, let's not put people out anymore. Let's just keep them in jail and make them work. I don't know if that's a good thing. People who are electronic monitoring have jobs too. And, you know, they do other things productive. I'm sorry, Supervisor Johnson.
No, I just wanted to add, that's actually what I was going to ask. Do all people with electronic monitoring have jobs? Is that one of the prerequisites?
A lot do. It's not a prerequisite, as long as they pay the money.
Okay. So the ones that aren't working, would that have to be court-ordered that they...
No, it's the sheriff decides who goes electronic monitoring, as long as they meet a certain criteria.
Sure.
They're given Huber status and meet a certain criteria. Again, it's a philosophical issue about what do you want to do with inmates? And if they have jobs or they're babysitting or whatever, mm-hmm. and they can get out, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't want to hold them in jail just to do make work projects or
Absolutely.
Work projects. But we did benefit from that. We did benefit from that. So
I'm just thinking perhaps if there are ones that don't have jobs that have paid for the monitoring devices, that would be eligible otherwise. Maybe since they aren't working,
maybe they should. If they can pay for it. No, mm-hmm. they got the money, they can get out of jail, and they qualify.
Well, it's all about qualification, obviously.
Yeah, there's qualifications that have to be met.
Same with work crew.
Same, mm-hmm. exactly. We just don't put anybody on the work crew.
Sure. Yeah. You done, Supervisor Johnson?
I am.
Supervisor Ray?
See, actually, it was brought up in our public works meeting, the fact that they had this large gap. So that's where it originally came from.
Right.
And he said that they were looking in to see how many hours they go... They expected it to be around 400 hours a week, and they're just not sure what to do right now, and they were going to submit something to our committee next meeting to talk about it. So, and I sort of chuckled, well, I'm on both committees. So this is something that's probably going to be discussed at Public Works next month of what they can do.
And there's a lot of inmates that maybe could be on the work crew, but they're all on these diversionary programs, like the drug court, like the WCS program.
WCS.
And they're not, that's why I said we have such a large number out. But the whole issue is we don't want people in jail that really don't need to be in jail.
I also just want to say, and I would just guess, we probably need somebody to do an analysis, a benefit analysis, but I would guess that we're better off cost-wise, too, with them being out of jail and paying the lower fees that we would pay for a laborer to go out and clean up the golf courses. Do you know what I mean? I think that the cost of housing them as inmates is probably much more, and put aside the whole social correctness issue of it, but I mean, I think the cost too.
There's no doubt that the costing of holding an inmate, our cost runs somewhere between $55 and $60. That's what it costs us to house an inmate in the system. Because we're feeding them, we're giving them medical, we're doing it. And if they were on the work crew and came back, we'd be supplying meals, like Captain House, then we have to wash their clothes and their laundry and do all of this stuff. And there's a lot of cost involved. We have to have more correctional officers. When they're not in jail, we can close dorms. And there's a huge personnel cost that's a savings, especially when we're critically short of staff. So again, I'll go back to it's a philosophy, you know. And for years, the county used part-time workers. You know, they would hire people to work in the summer months. And the work crew kind of supplanted that, and they said, well, why do we don't have to hire anybody? Because we can use inmates. Well, those inmates are drying up, and they've dried up in the charitable organizations. We used to send them out to the Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, the Shalom Center. We don't have anybody. Summers is called, Pleasant Prairie is called. As soon as we can get some, we will. But it's a hit or miss, you know. Running a jail is not an easy thing, just to hold, for the social credit, to hold them in jail when they really could have a chance to be out being a little bit more productive.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's just an issue that...
Oh, sure.
I think we need to discuss it, Supervisor Frederick.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Supervisor Johnson, anything else? Okay. So basically, we're down 16 inmates on average per day per year to date. May's been at 198 average. Hoping to meet our, we're hoping to meet our goal at the end of the year.
Hope so.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. But basically, we're down because of the whole, it doesn't have to do with Marshall, it has to do with
civilian
detainees.
Strictly immigration. We experienced the same ebb and flow last spring, a year ago. We had low numbers in the spring. We had a gangbuster summer. And then when the federal government had their budget problems in the fall, our numbers went back down, and then they recovered at the end of the year. And I think we made it by two or something last year.
Yeah. Well, here's my concern with this is everybody knows that's been on the county board long enough that we're playing with fire. You know, you're become codependent on these numbers, and then when they don't come in, everybody scrambles. You know what I mean?
So maybe at budget time this year, we need to take a hard look at what really is the number. Ever since I've chaired this committee, I've brought the number down to try to be realistic, you know, and be honest with ourselves, you know, because 6 years ago, the number was way over 200, 221, 224, you know, and then unfortunately at the end, that's when everything blows up. And, you know, I just don't, it's counterproductive. Chief Deputy?
I'm just going to say, the sheriff agrees with that, Mr. Chairman. You know, every year we've tried to bring that number down, and it somewhere along the line it gets brought back up.
Sure, I'm not saying it's administration's
problem. Right, and we've tried to get it down, because what we're trying to do is wean ourselves off of this. This is not a good way to budget, because it's a per diem, there's no contract, and there's no control. And we could take a huge hit, and the laws can change overnight, and pretty soon, no immigrants are going to jail anymore, and you went, and all of a sudden, all the numbers fly away. So it's a tough thing to do, and there's a lot of administrative strain dealt with that, trying to, do we call immigration, do we ask for more inmates, are we going to get any more, you know, and everybody just, it's a tough thing to have. Not a good way to budget. But I understand why it's done.
Sure.
And that's the good side, but it also has a dark side. And that's what we experience. We can't get those numbers up. And without a contract, you're right, you're playing with fire.
You're right, Johnson.
Well, you know, I think we probably all realize this, but right now, I think with the whole amnesty thing, it's almost a little scary, but because, I mean, aren't a large number of our detainees directly related to that? I mean, if they're given amnesty here, have they all committed a crime that would make them deportable, or some of them, is it just being in the country illegally?
To our knowledge, we don't house anybody that's just here on an immigration hold. They've committed crimes, and that's why they're being deported. They've served their sentence.
Okay.
They're convicted criminals. They're just awaiting deportation proceedings.
Okay.
We're not housing the, you know, the rounded up people in the, you know, okay. At, you know,
so nobody that's been, okay.
Right.
So they've all finished.
Right.
Okay.
Time, so to speak.
So none of them would actually be eligible for amnesty.
Probably not.
Amnesty.
But like the chief said, the law could change with an executive order from Washington, and we could have a population of zero tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and everybody knows going in what this is. Mm-hmm. If you've been on the county board long enough, if you don't understand what this is, and you've been sleeping at the switch, so to speak. You know, I mean, this isn't anything new. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everybody knows going in, and, you know, it's been the philosophy, we'll ride this gravy train till it ends. And I can understand that and even appreciate it. But, you know, it's not that we haven't, I think in the last 4 years, the county board has done a great job to say, listen, let's pull down back the reins on this thing, because, you know, we were, what I'm saying is, a decade ago, we were a lot more codependent than we are now on it.
Yes.
You know, and it's moving in the right direction, which I like to see. Supervisor Frederick, do you have something?
Oh.
All right, thank you, Captain. Appreciate it. 647, we got a discussion regarding the new campaign for National Association of Counties Focus Keeping Mentally Ill Out of Jail. I agendized this. Did everybody get a chance to read that NACO stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Basically wanted to see if there was any discussion by any supervisors. I think they're moving in the right direction. NACO's moving in the right direction on this issue. I believe it's in, they're going to have like a symposium mm-hmm. Coming up to lay out different options and so on and so forth with this. And I just want to make sure we're in the front of this thing instead of behind. Suarez Johnson.
We had a special meeting last week for Human Services that we kind of threw together, and we had NAMI there, and, you know, we know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but for a population our size in Kenosha County, we should have 16 psychiatrists. I think we have 6. We're down 10. And also we have a shortage now of counselors even. So at all levels, we're behind. I think one of the best places to be if you want mental health care in Kenosha County and you are in the lower socioeconomic status is actually in jail, more so than out of jail. Unfortunately, I think that it is. Badger Care, if you're on Badger Care now in our county, there is practically nobody that you can go see, and you have to wait months to get in. It's just absolutely ridiculous. We have tasked ourselves with exploring some things to see what kind of things we can promote. So I talked to John Jansen, and we had discussed things like internships from local places. They tried an internship with a group out of Pennsylvania, but then to get those interns to move here, do you know what I mean? But if we do an internship with Madison, we'd be more likely. Not only that, I'd thrown out some things for us to start vetting, even if we do tuition reimbursement programs for people to come here. We reimburse tuition with a certain amount of years in service and a contract, and just some other things to try to draw them in. We talked about some things with the Bridges program that we can help out with as the county that we're going to start looking into. But as far as with law enforcement, I think one of the most important things is where we can help to prevent them from getting in is supporting expansions to our mental health courts. You know what I mean? To try to support that and even expand it to a larger size. And not only that, but also in working with law enforcement, unfortunately, it's just a fact. Right now, you're better off in jail if you need that kind of support than out. So we need to make it so that when they get out, there's a tie-out with human services to pick it up and to keep providing it. So I think it's a cross-section between us here and human services and NAMI, the city, everybody.
I agree 100%.
And Badger Care is the state. So, but the worst thing that we can do as a county is say, well, they're states, we don't, we're the county, we can't. We have to figure out how, because the fact is, eventually, their limits run out with Badger Care. It's going to be a huge, huge burden on the county when all of a sudden that stops. And there's little enough there now for them.
Well, and really, Human Services has to take the lead on this. This isn't a jail issue more as it is a socioeconomic issue. We've talked about that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so, if you're getting them at the jail point, you've missed the ball way forward, in my opinion. But we definitely need to be proactive, which I think we're doing. And if you could apprise the committee of what's going on with Human Services, we'd appreciate that.
Sure, sure.
Just so we're going to move forward with this issue. But if you think you're going to get psychiatrists that are going to treat people under Badger Care, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
And they're not going to do it because the simple fact is they don't get paid for it.
Absolutely.
Or they don't get paid enough.
That's right.
It's a sad fact, but if you're in the health industry, you understand what Badger Care is. Mm-hmm. Badger Care is charity work, and you do it or you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
It's reimbursement is probably 17 cents on a dollar on a good day. And you're going to wait 6 to 8 months to get paid for your bill.
Yeah.
So, that looking at bringing, I like all the internships and things like that, but that has to change fundamentally before anything else changes. You know what I mean? Because if you have psychiatrists that are treating all Badger Care people, they have bills and things like that, they won't be able to afford to open their doors.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that's the same
why
way.
we're going to have to come up with some kind of a plan as the county and partner with them and somehow work together with county services to provide better access, better options for our residents. We have to figure something out. Exactly.
Excuse me. Supervisor Bob.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that we do need more people to come, try to attract that kind of talent here to Kenosha. But I agree with Supervisor Esposito that we have to make it just, aside the aspect of offering tuition reimbursement, they need to be compensated for their services. I work in the healthcare. I've been a nurse for a very long time, and those people do not get paid enough to do what they do.
They won't do it.
No, they will not do it. It's a very dangerous job sometimes.
Yep. They just won't.
And, you have to make it worth their while to come over,
yep.
you know, and work for us.
Supervisor Friend?
The one thing, one of my friends moved from Racine to Kenosha and said there was no available care that she could get when it came to, for a psychologist or anything. She goes to Racine, and Aurora there and Wheaton have much more than what we have down here. And I just, we should work with the hospitals too, going, okay, this is a need in the community, you know. What about United? What about, because Aurora hasn't been Racine, but not here in Kenosha.
Well, there's a, can I speak?
Sure, you can, of course.
The problem with that is it's not cost effective for private industries to invest in it. There's not enough reimbursement for them, so most of them won't get involved in it. Now, I just sent, I don't know if you saw it, I just sent an article. I was looking through a business magazine about a month ago, and I sent it to John Jansen, and I want to find out how this happened. They're actually fighting over inpatient facilities that they're trying to build in Green Bay. Yeah, but here, we can't get one here. Nobody will build one here. Nobody will invest with one. So, you know, even that's another thing I brought up. We have to figure out what they did to get them there. And then another thing that we have to also look at is maybe partnering with one of the hospitals as being a county facility on, you know, like build on, like an add-on to a hospital, but still so that we're partnered, but they have our support. So, you know, there are things we can do. There are definitely things we can do, you know, and outsourcing all of our inpatient treatment is not good either. I mean, it can be very, very expensive. So in the long run, and, you know, and just even being proactive about treatment in the long run, you know, we'll have an initial investment, but in the long run, just the good that it will do is, of course, priceless, but it will pay for itself in the long run if we do these things.
Well, I think we're taking the right steps in discussing it, and that's the first wave, you know what I mean? If you don't, you can't put your head in the sand and think this is going to go away.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Chief Deputy, do you have something, Kevin?
I just two things that relates to this. First thing I want to do is, for those who haven't met Lieutenant Bob Croker, he's one of our newest lieutenants. Lieutenant Mark
Lieutenant Croker.
Will be retiring at the end of the month. He's been with the department 35 years. He's the current pretrial administrator, and he will be retiring. And Lieutenant Croker will be taking his place in the pretrial. And he has been to two of these webinars put on by NACO that deals with this as it concerns law enforcement. He's got another one tomorrow he's going to. And I mean, he can speak to what he's seen with them. Some of the stuff they're saying is applicable, some stuff we're doing already within the facility. So unless you want to say something, Bob, about what NACO was presenting.
Yeah, they just said that the county jails in America are the largest provider of mental health, you know, nationwide. They said 18% to 22% of the people incarcerated in the county jails are getting some type of mental health services, some of them multiple types. You know?
Sure.
So I mean, it's definitely there. And we are lacking it, you know, in Kenosha County and that as well. You see, sometimes we see mental subjects or mentally challenged subjects on the homeless people, you know, they're not getting any help at all. If they were to get incarcerated, they would get a ton of assistance, you know. So it is a heightened awareness that the counties are talking about and trying to do more within the jails as well to identify it, and then take steps to assist these people, both in the facility and after they get out, you know, so.
The VNCC, who we contract with for our mental services, they've been trying it's been very difficult to get clinical psychologists, psychiatrists to come here and do anything. We have one that is working in the facility now. And we have several mental health workers and other, and we do 80 hours a week for two facilities. We want to increase that, and we will be presenting that in our budget in 16, bring it up to 100 hours. Some of that is paperwork hours, and we don't want that. If we want actual evaluation time with the inmates,
face to face,
80 full hours, so we're going to add an extra 20 due to paperwork time. But every night when we bring people in. There's always an email to us about putting on a suicide watch or, you know, what, because there's so many people with mental issues. And Supervisor Johnson is right. They get the best care here that we can give them because you can't get it on the outside.
Sure.
You just can't.
And here's a question, and I think it's fair, since I know you haven't been here that long, Chief Deck, but you've been here a while. 30 years ago, is this more of an issue today versus 30 years ago, or is this more awareness today than 30 years ago?
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think that the culture we live in today is contributing to more mental issues. We live in a very high-paced society. There's a lot more issues at stake today than we had 30 years ago. The whole aspect of our society is changing all the time. That kind of pressure puts more on people. However, I will say this, that 30 years ago, you almost never heard of it because it wasn't reported. I think the reporting is now, it's like media is 24 hours a day. You know, everybody knows what's going on in the world. 30 years ago, they really did. You know, they watched the evening news broadcast or got the Kenosha Evening News. Now you know what's going on all the time. So the reporting aspect makes it appear like it's a lot more than it is. But I think it's always been there. But I also think that as our society evolves, it gets a little more. Just a real quick story. When O.W. Wilson became the superintendent of police in Chicago back in 1960, the police departments didn't have a reporting system that was reliable. He developed one. So they were actually reporting crimes as they happened. Well, after he developed this system, they thought he was the most horrible chief in the world because crime had increased so much, and they couldn't believe it under his command. He says, no, now the crime is just being reported. It's always been there.
Yeah.
But now he developed a system so people could see it. So, you know, the reality is if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. But it does exist, and there is a, and the reporting now shows us that it's there. It probably has always been there for something.
Sure.
Supervisor,
I just want to say one thing. 18 to 22% sounds really high, but if you put that in perspective, I mean, I think we know now that, was it one out of five people actually are affected by mental illness in the community at large. So, I mean, that fits right in with actually. So I would actually expect it to be higher because you would think untreated mental illness would lead to behavior that would wind up more likely having you incarcerated.
We have, two to three times a year, there's CIT training, crisis intervention training.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sheriff's Department administration is real good about loading up as many of our personnel as possible into that training, both the sworn side and the correctional side. There's a class coming up next month, and we send as many correctional people as possible to that. And it teaches them how to identify it, how to communicate with these people, how to document it. It's tremendous training. Mm-hmm. By our local NAMI, Mr. Rose teaches it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get our Sheriff's Department gets a huge benefit from that training. We jump into that. As soon as they open up a class, we try and fill it with our people. And Racine does the same thing. Racine had a class, and they tried to fill it with all their people. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's a great program.
There's 30 spots, there's 30 people in the room, trust me. So we're trying to maximize the training as well, you know.
No, that's awesome.
It was something that wasn't around when we were starting. CIT training was just talk to everybody in the same manner, but, you know, there's different ways of talking to people that are that are in need.
Sure.
Anything else, Supervisor? Yeah. You think governance, you have anything? Talking about incarceration and mental health? Since this is your last meeting, I figured I'd just throw that out there. No? Okay. Any other questions or comments, concerns, discussion over the mental health and NACO? And, you know, I appreciate everybody's input today. It's important. It's not something that I think we need to take lightly because I think at the end of the day, if you treat this the right way, there's going to be cost savings to the taxpayer. But if you put your head in the sand, it's just going to, it's going to erupt, and you're going to, it's going to be something that you can't control.
Yeah.
You know, as far as that goes. So thank you very much for that. It's 7:03. Any other business allowed by law? I have none. 7:03. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
First by Supervisor Johnson, second by Supervisor Powell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.
Article, the anniversary of Trump, though?
Appreciate it.
I did.
Okay.